Hi there and welcome to another episode of A Song and a Chat with your host, Pete Pascoe. I hope you're going to enjoy this episode. I intend to, as always. We're a tick over 200 episodes, as I touched on just a little bit, a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, it feels good to have done that. Somewhat bizarre, really, you know? Your first time here? If that's the case, thanks so much for popping by. It's me on the piano, and how I like to roll here is to put you in the shoes of a composer, yeah? Give you the feeling of how it feels, and I like to lead the song, let the song lead the way, and we just sort of see where it takes us. This week's song is Sideways from a Paper Bag, which is a bit bizarre sort of a title, isn't it? I can tell you, it came about because I discovered over the course of this podcast that I quite often, not always, but quite often start my lyric writing when I haven't really got anything in mind. I just sort of pick on something that I can see around me, something real, and that seems to get me grounded in what's around me. And what I saw sideways from a paper bag was a poster. As it turns out, of Jesus, right, looking out from a paper bag. Probably, if I was to release this song, I might be saying just, someone looking at me sideways from a paper bag might be a little less, sensitive, I guess. But I just like to say that, that's what it was. That's where the song came from. Time to roll the music. Here we go. Well, the intro music anyway. So yeah, welcome to Song and a Chat, episode 200 and whatever, 202 perhaps, I think it could be. Alright, it's backlist to the music there. Lyrics written in December sometime. When was this written? Hang on, off the mic here. 1998. There you go, going back some. At the time, I'd not long been in Melbourne from New Zealand. Yeah. Those of you who've been with me all the way know, relocated over here with my now wife. And to begin with, we started off in Brunswick, Melbourne, which is inner city living, about 20 minutes north of the main CBD and pretty manic. Just setting the scene, this is where the song came from. Pretty soon, well, as soon as we could manage, really, after a few years, we moved over towards the water, and that was such a good move. I think being an ex-Kiwi, just used to being near the bay, near the ocean or whatever, and just sort of transformed the life in Melbourne. I was feeling a little bit sort of claustrophobic, I guess. It was a big thing, huge thing for a New Zealander to come over and settle in a city the size of Melbourne. It reminds me of another song, actually. But I brought with me the faithful piano that I'm playing right now. Can you believe that? 1997. Nice Roland. And it's such a nice feeling just to sit and play. Yeah, it really is. And sometimes when I sit and play, I've got some lyrics with me. And here we go. This is Sideways from a Paper Bag, rolling.
Got Jesus looking at me sideways from a paper bag, and I just came here to remember why I came here. Here am I, cooking in my sandals yet again. I have to pick up some pictures from another day. Are those sofa-crested cockatoos afraid of heights? They make a noise like a fork in a wastemaster. I don't know if we've really got it. I'm trying to do too much too soon. You never see tomorrow. I'm trying to fight it.
pin to a wider reception. You are what you listen to. Do you see what I see? You got your satellite dish tuned into just one band. Your 7-year itch is getting out of hand, and I don't know if a friend had got it. I'm trying to do too much too soon. You never see tomorrow. I'm trying to fight it. Sideways from a paperback, and I just came here to remember why I came here.
So there you go, that demo. I should have said before I started the roll, that one was from the year 2000, May 2000, recorded by Andrew Hayhair Edge at Sound Park. And there you go, in May 2000. Gordon Bennett, one of about 21 songs, and I quite enjoyed that, actually. It was a demo written for a band I didn't have at the time. I was feeling a bit frustrated. I'd come over from New Zealand to start again, really, and had a known it, I had actually just met the guitarist, Mr. Anthony Reed, Ants, good old Ants, who mutual friend introduced us together, and yeah, we hit it off straight away. And Ants plays rhythm guitar in The Patient Hum all these years later, 2024. That's pretty cool. And it wasn't long after this that Anthony came over to my flat for the first time, guitar in hand, and we ran through a few songs, and it was good fun. But at the time I wrote this song, I didn't have a band. I did have a pen, I had some paper, and I had my keyboard, and we were living in a very small apartment on a very busy road that woke me up at some, like at 5 a.m. with the train bells going ding, 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 train crossing just down the road. It was a main road next to another main road. To get the idea, yep, we'd arrived in Melbourne for sure. And so I looked around the room, and paper was alone. Marie had gone off to work, and I had a piano gig or two coming up, but nothing much in the daytime. So, home. And this is Southgate. That's interesting, because I was working at Southgate a lot. I'll come to that soon, actually. Got Jesus Looking at Me Sideways from a paper bag. That's quite an image, isn't it? I just came here to remember why I came here. Okay, unlock that, Peter. Well, yeah, I just came here to remember why I came here. I think that that's talking about the unfolding of who we are, which I talk about a bit on this podcast, as it turns out, because I have discovered through my art and my writing, found out more about myself. So here I'm trying to find out why am I doing here? You know, the whole thing, you know, the whole question, what are we here? What are we doing? And as individuals, we sort of find our purpose in life and all that sort of thing. One way or another, for me, as it turned out back then, just by one word at a time, writing the lyrics down. Here am I, cooking in my sandals yet again, for sure, off to pick up some pictures from another day. I was going down to the local mall, I guess you would call it, just a small one there, and had some photos developed. So that's going back in time, isn't it? Remember those days? Took a roll of film in. And then you had to wait for it to get developed? Cool. And then, are those sulfur-crested cockatoos afraid of heights? They make a noise like a fork on a wastemaster. Not to be too sort of critical of a pretty esteemed national sort of a bird, beautiful bird, huge bird. Talking about the, you know, the ones like, wah, wah, wah. Make a heck of a racket, that's for sure. And often when they're flying, we've got one that flies around us where we are now, down the Mornington Peninsula, and we have a dead tree, large dead tree across the road in the paddock. And he makes it his business, this cockatoo, to turn up once every, you know, two or three days, just let him. I think it's probably a territory sort of thing. There you go. But I don't know if we've really got it. Trying to do too much too soon. Too soon. You'll never see tomorrow trying to fly to the moon. There was sort of cracks. I think I a bit of honesty in there. Bit of a flag for me. Trying to do too much too soon. Someone said to me last week, I put it in my blog last week, you got to slow down to move fast. I thought, oh, that's not too bad. Maybe after all these years, maybe I've just been going too fast. I mean, let everything catch up with me. I've been putting a lot of stuff out there, yeah, for a long time. And by that I mean a lot of creative work, a lot of paintings, 200 weeks of paintings gone online. And before that, I was painting, writing heaps of songs. Like this is song number 450, right? So obviously I got a bee in my bonnet when I was around about 20 and started writing these songs. And there you go. But you'll never see tomorrow trying to fly to the moon. Good look after yourself. That's the idea. As you grow, you're open to a wider reception. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, our mind opens. Not always, but we have the opportunity to grow, don't we? You are what you listen to. Yeah. All those old albums, Elton John, Paul Simon, Bob Dylan, Mark Knopfler, David Bowie. They're the sort of, you know, Neil Finn. They're the sort of people I listen to. Tom Petty. Love them. Still do. Do you see what I see? You've got, there was a bit of a pun, actually, a local pun. Great band, Hunters and Collectors, Australian iconic sort of a band. Mark Seymour actually was the front man for it and probably the lyricist, I think, as well. And his brother, Nick Seymour, was in Crowded House. I just mentioned Neil Finn. When I say Neil Finn, doesn't mean Crowded House splitting sort of thing. So I sort of dropped that in there. That's the title of one of their songs. You got your satellite dish tuned into just one band, and your 7-year itch is getting out of hand. About being not being open-minded. I'll just put the bag up there off the mic, sorry. Not being open-minded, just listening to the same old stuff. I was listening to the local radio station. It was gold hits, and it was all, mate, the same old ones. I mean, those great old songwriters had more than one hit, you know, and they seem to rotate the same ones. I guess maybe they get the rights to one or two songs or something, they put them on high rotate, or however that sort of a platform system works. It, it can't last much with the, you know, commercial radio. I don't listen much at all these days, actually, to commercial radio. It's a bit hit and miss as far as the subject material goes for me. And to give about 2 seconds, go, yep, nah. Find my music somewhere else. Yeah, somewhere. Where do you find your music? You know, do you let an algorithm, like one of the major streaming platforms, tell you what to listen to? Do you read up about it? If you're here, you got a pretty open mind, I think, having a look and seeing what I'm up to. So there I was, picture me back in the dog box of a flat, because it really was a very small flat. In fact, I'm looking around my studio here, and I'm lucky enough to have a pretty reasonable sized studio, and it's full of stuff, actually. Take my jacket off, getting a bit warm. And my flat, our flat, should I say, wasn't much bigger than this, to be honest, you know, just very basic rooms. But it was all we needed, you know. It was exciting times, it really was. And there were times when it got real, you know. Now, homesick a little bit, wondering, oh, that's a big move, moving across from New Zealand. I was part of a really good band with Paul Dredge and Noah Pollard. What was I thinking coming over here? What I was thinking was, just had the urge, just always knew I was going to go to Melbourne. Had no idea I was going to write sideways from my paper bag. That's the words I had. What would you do with that? Here's what I did. I went for that. Cause Jesus looking at me sideways from a paper bag. And I just came here to remember why. I came here. It's quite, it's got in brackets, Melbourne. It's quite an opening gambit, isn't it? That whole. I was really writing for a band, as I say, that hadn't yet arrived for me, and it was just starting. We've got a rehearsal coming up on the very soon later this month, which I'm pretty excited about. And I just had a discussion with a chap who owns a couple of venues down this way where I live, Mornington Peninsula. Get out, gig, Peter. That's what we're going to do. Here am I, cooking in my saddles yet again. Oh, yeah. I like that line. It sounds like things are really getting going. That whole opening line. You know, real introductions, like bookends. Happens at the end as well, isn't it? Didn't it? Interesting thing to do. I don't think I've done that much, really. Occasionally I might have had a nice verse, I guess, and come back and reflected on that verse at the end. But that was very much like a little bookend, because the song really gets going on that. That here am I, cooking in my sauce yet again. And this, like that line. And then pick up some pictures from another day. Straightforward, and then the interesting chord to go to E minor with an F sharp in there. The silver-crested cockatoos afraid of heights. Back out of it into a more normal. They make a noise like a fork in a Wastemaster. Think, alright, this song's kind of taking shape. I was actually listening to a lot of Crowded House at this stage. If you don't know Crowded House's music well, they're pretty worldwide, great band. Yeah, you might have heard of Don't Dream It's Over, the big single, right? But apart from that big single, great albums, beautifully produced. And these ones at this stage were produced by Mitchell Froom, and he let the band have their rain, you know, like right, gave him some rain, and they did what they did. Magnificent Paul Hester on drums, and Nick Seymour and Neil Finn at this stage in the studio, coming up with the goods in the moment. And I really, really wanted a rhythm section. I really wanted a guitarist, and so I was writing what I thought was a song that would suit that sort of production, which is 80s. Keyboards, layering keyboards, quirky stuff, drums, bass, guitar, everything that wasn't there, right? It was piano and vocal. I'm very determined. I tell you what, very, very determined. Still going now. So picked up my pen and wrote that down. Was that? And Jesus, coming out, E with a G sharp. So what you do, you sort of slow down for a second. You go out from, come right out there in creative land here, realizing I was out on a limb, literally, and A minor. Get that down, okay, and what was that? Right? E-D-D-D-D-C. So you're a secretary, a secretary. I've just got that word so many times wrong. You go from creative land to the whole left brain exercise. When you think you got it, you get back in there, rewind it a bit. Noise like a volcano, Wishmaster. Oh, yeah, it's going to go. Don't know if I really got it. Quite bright. This bit. Trying to do too much too soon. Can't read my writing, it says more. Try that bit. Try to do too much too soon. You never see tomorrow. Trying to fly to the moon. And this bit here was really, I really had in mind just the band getting happening, the band that wasn't yet even existing. That. And then getting back into the verse, this. as you groove, etc. You're into the next verse. So the whole thing came together pretty quickly, as is, this just seems to be the way I work. I'm starting to really like this song. I mean, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be here in the podcast doing it if I didn't kind of like it. But I think there's perhaps more to like about it than I realised. Thinking about that 80s keyboard album I keep threatening to do, I think this might be getting an inside track here. I think it might be kind of interesting to sort of throw in. I like that bit that... just sort of back out. Nothing like, you know, keeping the listener guessing. I had the other verse, so it's just a no-brainer just to drop it in and go, you know. As you grow open to a wider reception. I mentioned on last week's blog again, I was sitting in a cafe and song Just the Two of Us came on, and Paul Dredge and I did an extensive amount of restaurant gigs. We were the happening kind of duo, background music, and we picked on all the easy listening songs of the day, and just the two of us, man, did that get a fair old thrashing. So that came, I was sitting in the cafe writing my blog, and it came on, and I would smile to myself, and my hands, I mentioned this because of muscle memory, my hands, I could remember all the riffs, chord, you know, progression and little piano bits and pieces. After all these years, it sort of came back. And I haven't looked it sideways from my paper bag for years. Like, it's been tucked in here in the red book. And that whole riff come back straight away like there was no tomorrow. Why? Because I played it and played it when I first wrote it, and then every now and then I'd flick open the book and give this one a go, and just tweak the arrangement, and then when you revisit, the strongest parts sort of become stronger and you weed the other bits out, and it sort of works that way. And something else was just coming into mind about muscle memory. Gone. Pretty casual tonight, always casual on this podcast. But tonight, a little more. I'm just where I'm at. If you did listen, if you've been listening or looking at the blog or listening to the podcast, you'll get an idea of, you've been getting an idea of the artist, I guess. How my life's kind of unfolded around the songwriting. And I'm obviously thankful for the amount of freedom that I've had in my life being an artist. And at this stage of my life, I'm just bringing a circle around kind of everything I've done, getting frustrated because I haven't finished some video courses, but that'll happen coming to the end of the school term, and that gives me 2 weeks without any piano teaching. I'm going to finish off some albums. It's going to be great. Okay, let's look at the melody here. As you grow, you open to a wider reception. Yeah, I like this. Yeah, the same sort of thing, huh? You are what you listen to, and then that time. Do you see what I see over that riff? And then just a, you got a satellite, and I went off into that, because I can just hear the band. It's an interesting thing. I hadn't really thought about that much, but when I do sing and play a song, I hear the band. I just do, I hear all the arrangement, and it's something that evolves over the course of as I write the song, you know, just say it start out, say, with a swing beat. This one didn't, but I might imagine straight away, I can hear the old drums. And then, oh, no, we're going to go straight to a rim. So I play and I write for sort of scenarios, I guess, that don't even exist. And that's one of the joys of being a songwriter. There kind of are no rules, you know. I mean, I could sit down. I did actually the other day. I whistled a tune that sounded like some 1920s or 30s marching band song, and I wouldn't mind doing a brass band arrangement of that. It was roaringly good. And I don't let anything just fall between my fingers. That's the thing. I catch them. And interesting, I know what I was going to say. I wasn't sure what I was doing tonight, and I thought of Sideways, and I saw the demo CD there because I picked a couple off here in recent times. I went, yeah, maybe. I'll see if I can find it. And I was looking at the first page of my... I had a feeling it was in the red book, the third one. I'm looking, couldn't see it in the contents, you know, at the beginning. I went, oh, I'll just do it the old style. Flicked open the book and straight to 450, Sideways from my paper bag. How does that happen out of all the pages? One explanation is muscle memory. Like, you're just guided to this stuff. I remember when I was gigging with Paul, we had to get the next song up, and what are you doing? I'm just randomly flicking through pages, sort of not even concentrating what I'm doing. Got this, all these songs all over the place, and miraculously coming across the right song. So I don't know, maybe dipping into something in there, which is pretty handy. Maybe it's a creative way to get somewhere. I think that's probably utilizing that part of brain that we probably all have. And I think with songwriting and being creative, it's like any sort of muscle. Yeah, you gotta use it or you lose it, and if you use it, it can grow, and it just sort of can take you places. Speaking of which, I had in mind, you could do a sort of a keyboardy start to this. And that would give it a little nod to the whole piano vocal start that I wished I had that band for. And then I'll be able to bring in that doom, bow, the drums at some point. That's going to be fun doing that. I just realized in that song where it said Southgate. Now, Southgate is on the Yarra River in Melbourne, right in the CBD. And as it turned out, the first time I visited that whole CBD with Marie, it was like, wow, overwhelming, all these people everywhere. I've never seen so many people in one place at one time, and the streets are just so busy, and all these skyscrapers, and Melbourne's grown a whole lot since then. Anyway, Southgate was a real happening sort of a collection of restaurants and interesting retail shops all in one sort of building right on the riverfront, and that turned out to be where I made a lot of my living. There was a place called Walter's Wine Bar there, where there's the piano man just inside the door. Pretty good fun being there, because you'd have all sorts of conversations as I was playing, because, you know, the piano beside the door, people would wait behind me, and while they're waiting to be seated, and I'd be, hey, going, yep, g'day, mate, yeah, oh, yeah, bit of piano, for sure, Billy Joel, yep, bit of William Joel coming up, right after this Elton John song. And it was a magnificent arrangement to go in there and play a few nights a week. Very grateful for that place. Thank you, those people. And then, excuse me, another restaurant there. And then right next door from being this, you know, really quite, it was quite the wine bar right in Melbourne, you know, it really was. And on a baby grand and quite the esteemed gig. I got lucky getting that gig, I can tell you. And but then the flip side was on Sundays, right next to Southgate, I worked in an arts market. I started having a stall there with my one CD and doing cartoon animals. Well, that market is, I'm still at it. It's actually going to finish this year, unfortunately, for Melbourne. It's a great market. I've been there for years. Oh my gosh, I realised, you know, 20 odd years or something. I thought maybe 2 years. It was great. I used to sit there and play my music, this sort of thing. which is entrance of the album release. And I had three piano CDs after a while. I'd sit and play at the market behind my art stall on this electric piano through little speakers and be chatting away. And it was really good because, well, each week I was selling about 20 or 30 CDs of original music. And, doing quite well financially, $15 or $20 a pop. Pretty good, eh? Never saw streaming coming. What do? You dodge and weave. You keep changing. Everything changes, and so I'm working on my sheet music. I've got some. I'm going to have more. I've got 100 drafts now of sheet music, so I'm going to start steadily finishing that and put them online. And I'll do the same with a lot of songs off this podcast. All right, lots of chat. I hope you enjoyed Sideways from a Paper Bag. There's really not a lot to say other than look out for the 80s rock version of it, synth band version, on an album. I think I'm going to do it. I'm glad I gave it some air, cut it out of the paper bag. There we go. This is Pete Pasco signing out. Hope you've enjoyed yourself. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Your seven-year itch is getting out of hand, and I don't know if your friend it got it. Trying to fight it.